Please grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You can stand together. We'll stand and stretch a little bit. John chapter 10. And we're going to, for the next few weeks on Sunday morning, go through seven abundant life thieves and or seven causes of stress that we shouldn't have. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And verse number 9. John 10, verse 9. How many like the cool weather? Isn't it nice? Come on. We've been having summer way too long. You're not supposed to have summer in November. Guess what? It's going to be 80 this next week. I'll take it. It's all right. John chapter 10. And verse number 9, it might be, was it a little cool in here this morning? Can we make sure it's now, my vote is that it's freezing, because I've learned people won't fall asleep while they're freezing to death. But at the same time, I don't want people to just, you know, have to bring a warming blanket to church. So if we could warm it up a little bit, guys, it's not that warm anymore. John chapter 10. In verse number 9, John 10, verse number 9, I am the door, it's Jesus speaking, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And again, Jesus wants us to have the abundant life. And so we want to get that, okay? That's what he wants. That's what he desires for all of us. We can have an abundant life. Really, we can have an abundant life if everything's falling apart. We can still have that abundant life. Father, help us this morning as we just look in your word in a real practical way. And you have a purpose for us to bring glory to you, to win the lost to Christ, and to see God's people mature, but we struggle when we're frustrated and angry and having bitterness and all these different stresses that affect our abundant life. How can we fulfill your purposes, Lord, with all these in our lives? Help us, Lord, as we just open your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to spend just a couple minutes, not long, I'll just spend a couple minutes to review from last week. We said the Lord wants us to have an abundant life. The word abundant means abounding, plentiful, fully sufficient, overflowing with. The abundant, and I'm going to read a lot of this. It'll help me to save a little time here. The abundant life is first simply discovered by learning God's principles about the body. Can everybody say body? Body, soul, can everybody say soul? And spirit, everybody say spirit. And applying them to our lives. So if we learn what the Bible says, God's principles about the body, the soul, and the spirit, applying to our lives. Let me say, secondly, the abundant life is a byproduct of being grateful for his mercy. I did a series on contentment. You can never be content unless you're grateful. Ungrateful people can have a great job, a great house, bunch of money, good health, but they're not content. Contentment. You say, how do you get contentment? Contentment is by being grateful. And you're first grateful to God for His grace and His mercy. Give you a little story. This happened last night. Sort of humbling. This is sort of embarrassing. So I just woke a few of you up. I was embarrassed. We were home on Saturday nights. We try to relax. We try to just sort of. We're trying to get ready for Sunday, and we don't want to be up late because we want to be well rested when we come to church. And all of my children, maybe not the 10-year-old or the 9-year-old, but all of them serve somewhere. They do something. And, of course, I'm the pastor. But we do something with the family. And we'll watch Andy Griffin for the glory of God, of course. And so we'll do something with the family. And last night, we said, let's get some popcorn and we'll watch, you know, a 20-minute. You get the little, I don't know if you get them on YouTube or something, and one of those, Andy Griffin or whatever, though. So I was nominated to be the driver. And so I had my flip-flops on, not the flippy-floppy, but they're black sort of sandal flip-flops, and I had my flannel shirt on, and I said, look, I'll drive, but I'm not going in. I said, I'm not dressed for public, okay? I'm driving. You ever been there, dads? Just you'll be the driver, and the kids go in. And so I looked pretty ratty, really. I mean, I didn't look real public. I didn't look pastoral. And so, but I go in there, and drop the kids off the front, I go to the back, and then I'm sort of hyper, always doing something, so I make a phone call to a pastor, wanted me to call him, and I'm talking to him, and I'm helping him and on the phone, and then the kids come out with their popcorn and hot chocolate, okay, it's cool, you know, hot chocolate, so we're going to have popcorn and hot chocolate with the children, and so they come in the car, and then I start pulling out, right over here at Target, I'm still on the phone. And then I'm out just a few seconds on the street. I'm like, hey, I better hang this up. You know, don't be driving because, you know, you say, why? Well, it's either you don't want a ticket or you want to obey the law. You want to do both. So I hung it up. I'm just right on that, I think it's 33rd Street. And I'm just about to make a turn. I hung up. And then, oh, by the way, I didn't know this either. My tags on my wife's van, I said my wife's van. Did you get that? Okay. They're expired. I didn't know that. They're not really expired. My wife gave the insurance for my car to get the tags, and when she paid for them, and they said, we're not going to give you them because you gave us the wrong insurance. So it was paid for, and then she got them, so they're in process. So I just pulled out. I was really, for just a few seconds, illegal on the phone. I got expired text, August. It says August on there. This is November. So then all of a sudden, I saw some lights. You always know you're pulling over and the lights are for somebody else. And so I pull over. And you know, the kids are saying, what are they doing? I said, well, I think one of you guys, and you know, they're saying, is everybody's seatbelts buckled? I was hoping it was them and not me. And so pulled over, and I'm going, oh, guess what else? I pulled out, and we got in for popcorn. I didn't bring my wallet. So I'm like, no wallet, expired tags, and you know. And so he comes up, and I'm thinking, this guy's going to probably think I'm a drug dealer or something. And he says, okay. He said, can I see your license? I said, I don't have my wallet. By the way, this is Signal Hill Police. Anybody know what that means? Okay. This is the no-break police. We knew that when we were little kids. When we were teenagers, they said, if you're going to break the law, do it in Long Beach, not Signal Hill. But anyway, that was the crowd he hung out with. So I wanted to give them the whole story. You know what I'm saying? I want to say, I'm a pastor, and we're just getting popcorn for the kids, and I just ran out of the house, and I wanted to do all that, but you know what? You know how many, look, we have police officers in our church. Do you know how many lies they hear every day? And I'm thinking, I'm going to tell them this. This guy's going to think, And basically, I'm like, give it to me. Just give me what I got coming to me. Listen, man, I got no license. I got expired tags. Probably the kids were jumping up and down. No, listen, take me to jail. He pulls me out, and he says, he said, put your hands behind your back. I thought, wow. He said, you don't have a license. He says, I gotta frisk you. And he said, do you have a gun? I don't want to. But anyway, no, I don't have a gun. He said, I got a knife on you? I said, no. And he said, sit down here on the curb. I'm thinking, man. We're right in front of, what's it called? What's right across the street from El Torito? Fresh and Easy, right? And I'm thinking, I hope none of our people from our church are coming there. And then he says, okay, give me your name and give me your date of birth. And then I did. And they said, okay, yeah, you go ahead in the car. And, you know, of course, the kids, I don't know if they're excited. Wow, this is exciting, you know. What do you think is going to happen? I said, well, the best thing about the best thing that can happen is we can get a ticket. The worst thing is, you know, one of you know how to walk home from here. So I'm sitting there, and he goes to his car. I don't know who he talked to. He probably checking to see if I got warrants or anything, and no license. And he pulled up, and he said this. You know how they pull up? They pull just a little bit before the window because they want to make sure that you're not in. You know, you can't do anything. And he said, look. But he pulled up a little more. He said, I don't give break. This is, he comes back. He says, I don't give breaks. I'm like, I didn't ask you for a break. So give me the ticket. Take me to jail. What are you going to do? He says, I don't give breaks. Then he said this. He said, but I'm giving you 3 breaks. He said, you don't have a license. He said, your tags are expired. And he said, you are on the phone. He said, have a nice day. I shook his hand. I said, thanks a lot. Took off. And the kids are going, hey, he was nice. I said, now here's the point. He said, what was that? I just want to wake you up. Here's the point. When I took off, you say, what did you want to do? I wanted to do something for that guy. You say, why? Because he gave me mercy. You say, what's mercy? Mercy is somebody not giving you what you deserve. And I thought, man, I wish I would have looked at his, you know, tag or badge to, or his uniform to see his name. I want to take the guy out for lunch. I want to do something for him. And it wasn't just the ticket. He counted it. He says, I don't give breaks. He said, but I'm giving you 3. No license, no, and he didn't give me explanation. He said, have a nice day. I don't know if he went in a car and an angel showed up and said, don't do it. He's a pastor. Don't do it to him. I don't know what happened. He just came, said that, and he took off. You know? That's how God is. God has not given us what we deserve. Okay? There's no Apostle Paul's in this church. Okay? God doesn't, mercy is, and you want to experience the abundant life, you need to understand that God is a merciful God. And there's a lot more than 3 breaks that he's given us. He's given us a whole bunch of breaks. And so let's be grateful to God. By the way, it was very spontaneous. You know, this guy didn't say thank you. And I remember I went home, I thought, man, I just really would like to find this guy. I'd like to find, it was a black guy, real nice, you know, at first he wasn't like, he's doing all that stuff. Anyway, and I was humiliated, and so when you're humbled in front of your children, you get grace. Amen? To have an abundant life, we must understand several important principles. We are a 3-part being, body, soul, and spirit. The body, physical body, the soul, mind, will, and emotion, the spirit, all affect each other and determine our abundant life. Stress affects the soul, the body, and the spirit. Total health, or we could give it another term, the abundant life, is the dynamic and harmonious interaction of the body, the soul, and the spirit. The spirit, we said, is the most important part of man. We must understand that stress not dealt with properly affects all three of these parts of our being. Then we lose or never have the abundant life in John chapter 10, verse 10, that God wants us to have. When these three laws, the body, the soul, and the spirit, are in conflict, we experience stress, disease, and often premature death. When these three are in harmony with one another, scripturally, we experience health, peace, and the abundant life. Romans 8, 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The peace of God is a state of undisturbed well-being with an absence of inward stress. This is the abundant life. We must understand that stress does not just happen. Stress is a result from wrong responses to circumstances that produce anger, guilt, lust, bitterness, greed, fear, and envy. These all rob us of the abundant life. Look, say, what are you saying? You can't have these in your life if you're going to have an abundant, peaceful life. You can't. We must all understand that the abundant life in reality is having the ability to fulfill the purposes for which God created us. Look, the abundant life is not something that God wants us to have to be narcissistic, selfish, and self-indulging. The abundant life is a gift to us from God so that we can fulfill His purposes. You see, if we're not having the abundant life, it's very difficult for us to fulfill the purpose that God has us down here. Not understanding this will always cause stress that robs us of the abundant life. In other words, we must start with the right motive, the right reason. Why do you want to have an abundant life? Well, just so I can be happy. Wrong. We should desire, or maybe this morning, change our motives to have the abundant lives so that we can fulfill that which God's created us for on this earth. In other words, we must start with the right motive to have the abundant life so we can fulfill God's purpose. The abundant life, or total health, has never been discovered by selfish people. Never. Selfish people cannot find the abundant life. You can't find the abundant life seeking to be self-indulging, self-fulfilling, and loving of self. We must understand that there are seven. I'm going to go over these the next few weeks. We'll just cover one this morning. There are seven stresses that will always hinder the abundant life that throw the body, soul, and spirit into an imbalance. These seven stresses must be dealt with from God's word, or we will never have the abundant life, and we will always suffer from the consequences of these seven stresses. I mentioned them last week. Anger. Anger affects many. It affects the body, the soul, and the spirit. It affects specifically the cardiovascular system. By the way, my uncle was a diehard Ohio State Buckeye fan. Any Ohio State Buckeye fans? Okay, right here. Of course. Uncle Al was an Ohio State Buckeye fan. Woody Hayes, right. And he had a heart attack. And his doctor said, by the way, do you understand people, when they watch sports, they get mad? I was getting a haircut. At my barber. And there was a guy in there. It was just before the Lakers playoff last year. And one of the guys waiting for a haircut, he said this. He said, during the playoffs, you cannot be in the room with me while I'm watching the Lakers. He said, I'll punch somebody. He said, you got to get out of the way. He said, I get so angry. And I, phew, wow. And but they told my Uncle Al, they said you had a heart attack, and they said, you can no longer watch Ohio State Buckeyes. He said, if you get upset, and they knew, you know, they, when you have a heart attack, and you know, they don't just they ask you all the questions, and they said, you can't do that anymore. that's going to cause you to maybe have another heart attack. Guilt, it's anger. Guilt affects the nervous system, okay? Lust affects the endocrine system. Bitterness affects the digestive system. Greed affects the immune system. Fear, by the way, there's stories, we don't have time to go over some of the stories this morning. There's stories in the Bible. What was the, we don't have time. But fear affects the respiratory system. By the way, you see, why do children, more children than adults, not that adults don't have asthma, children, I mentioned this last week, I think, maybe I did, Sunday night, children with only one parent in a home have twice the possibility of having asthma. You say, why? There's when you have a father and a mother, you have an intact family, it brings security. What's the opposite of security? Fear. And what does fear do? It affects the respiratory system. By the way, what's the point here? There's a lot of points here. One thing is, walking with God and obeying His word, it blesses everything. Blesses the body, it blesses the soul, it blesses the spirit, it blesses your relationships. It's not just one little part of your being. No, God wants to be a part of all of our being. Envy affects our musculoskeletal system. Now, let's deal with that which robs us of the abundant life. And I want to talk about one this morning, and that's anger. Anger. There are many horrific consequences of anger that affect the body, the soul, and the spirit. Here are a few. Many wives and husbands have wounded spirits because of anger. Sons and daughters have resentment towards their parents. We wonder why are my children not responding to me anymore? It's often because of anger. And not anger today, but it may have been anger last week or last month. Sons and daughters have resentment because of parental anger. Men, many men and some ladies are in prison because of anger. By the way, do you know in prison? Now, I know there's a bunch of criminals in prison. But you know, in prison, there's some people that aren't criminals. You know what happened? They got real angry one day, and they got a knife, or they got a gun. Or do you understand, when you get angry, you get literally your body, there's an adrenaline rush, okay? And literally, you can do things, and you're stronger physically. By the way, God has given that to us not for anger. He's given that to us for emergencies, okay? You know, emergency, something's going on. You got to get all the family out of the house because there's a fire. God's given that not for anger. It's for an emergency. But anger, men are in prison because of anger. Families are separated because of anger. Brothers, by the way, we say things we don't mean because of anger. I coach couples for years, 24 years. And often what it is there's these words, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Okay? And sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's not true. Names do hurt us, especially if it's people that we're close to. Okay, and we get angry, and we start saying things we would have never wanted to say, and we try to take them back, but they're in the minds and in the souls of the people that we love, that we've shot these arrows. Families are separated because of anger. Brothers and sisters in Christ won't talk to each other because of anger. Our children have been taken out of our homes because we've disciplined in anger. Many people suffer from unnecessary physical problems because of anger. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 16. I want us to look at a couple verses here, and we're not going to overcome anger because of this message. But I hope I can tap on the door of your soul to say, you need to get help. You need to get help, and I'm going to give you some real practical ways to get help. You're not going to get all the help this morning. We don't have all the time. Proverbs chapter 16. And look at verse number 32. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. By the way, you want to be, we all desire to be mighty. That's okay. God has put in our soul a desire to do something great for him. Why most people don't have that opportunity is because they cannot control their anger. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Proverbs 19, 19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. By the way, I have suffered punishment circled, and I have three arrows. One arrow says soul. One arrow says body. One arrow says spirit. What's the punishment that anger brings? Physical or body punishment, soul punishment, and spiritual punishment. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Turn over to Proverbs 22. This is for all the single girls. Don't marry an angry man. So I didn't know he was angry until I married him. Sorry, you didn't do a big enough, good enough background check. I'm serious. You got to do an anger check, okay? I'm not saying marry a softy either. Don't marry some guy when someone's breaking in your house, he's running underneath the bed hiding. Okay, let's get that straight, okay? Moses was the meekest man in the earth, okay? A couple times he got angry, okay? We're not saying you don't have the potential of being angry. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. That means I can't be a friend of my husband. Well, you're going to have to balance scripture with scripture. Okay? Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways. Listen to this. Tempers are contagious. Anger, there's families, every once in a while you see the whole roof just going up. The whole house. The mom's now an angry person. The dad's an angry person. The little children are little hotheads. Okay? Anger is contagious. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. Look at verse 25. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy what, class? Soul. Anger brings a snare to the soul. We're talking about the body, soul, and spirit. Okay, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Go to the New Testament, and we're just about done here. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I know what you're going to go home and tell your family. Guess what the pastor had happened to him yesterday? My kids, when they got home, got out of the car, they said, "Can we? Who's going to tell everybody?" I said, "I will." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. By the way, we're all going to be tempted and we will slip. I'm not teaching on how to overcome anger. I'll give you a few points this morning, but you're going to have to really, really dive in yourself. But one thing is, deal with your anger right away. Don't sleep on it. Okay, don't go to bed. My wife and I, we don't deal with problems, big problems at night. But if one of us are a little upset, we deal with it. We don't go to bed angry. I don't go to bed looking at that wall on this side of the bed, and she's on that side of the bed looking at that wall. There's a lot of way too many chuckles in here. You've done that before, haven't you? Okay. You go, no, I send my husband on the couch downstairs. You don't have a couch. That's why you're on the floor a lot. Anyway, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down in your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That's the spirit. Look over to verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, of course, these are all like kissing cousins, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. From the book, How to Resolve Seven Deadly Stresses, they said heart disease is the number one killer in America. Almost half of the deaths in the United States and Europe are caused by heart conditions. Cardiovascular disease claims the lives of more than 2,000 Americans every 4 hours. Unresolved anger results in constriction of the arteries and elevation of the blood pressure. Okay, I wasn't angry, but I had my yearly checkup. I usually have them every 3 years. The more my wife nags, I mean, bugs me, the quicker I go in. And I went in there, and they did all the vitals. And then he said, at the end, we're all done. He said, hey, you know what? Let me take your blood pressure one more time. He said, because it was a little high when you came in here, I first checked you. And he said, that's very typical because sometimes you come out of your car, you come in here and we're pulling blood and putting all kinds of things on you. Your blood pressure goes up. And then by the time you're here, it's like we're not going to amputate anything and no open heart anything. And, your blood pressure goes down. So he checked it again. He said, yep, it's gone down. Now, anger brings the blood pressure up. A Harvard Medical School study has linked anger with a doubling of the risk of heart attacks. So if you're a hothead, you have twice, according to this Harvard study, medical school study, you have twice the double of the risk of heart attacks. Say, who's at risk of heart attacks? Well, genetically, people are at risk of heart attacks. You don't exercise, you have a risk of heart attacks. You eat a lot of greasy foods and all that. But, I mean, that's pretty heavy. You double the risk of a heart attack if you're a hothead. Overcoming anger takes understanding of what God says about it. Again, we don't believe in anger management. Anger management is sort of putting a Band-Aid on it. We believe in scripturally resolving anger the Bible way. Okay? And I know, I won't ask how many have gone to anger management classes, okay? We might have a host of hands go up. And, we've actually, some of our people have been court mandated to anger management classes. They let them do it through the church and so forth. But we don't believe in anger management. We believe in resolving anger scripturally. Now, let me give you just a couple real fast points, and then I'm going to give you some real good advice. Number one, you got to repent of anger. Well, that's just me. Settle down. Okay? Anger is wrong. Okay? It's not, if it's just you, it's not supposed to be just you. Okay? So you repent of anger. And then number two, I'm going to go through this quickly, but I'm going to have you write a couple things down. We need to learn to rejoice when people speak all manner of evil against us. Do you know why most people get angry? Because of what someone says. It's what someone says. At work. Hey, they were talking about you in the lunchroom. Blood pressure goes up. Heart starts pumping. That was like, is there like a delay out there or something? Teeth start grinding. I mentioned this in Faithfulness Rally yesterday. I heard a message this past week about anger, actually a series on anger. It said one reason we get angry is because how people treat us. People say things about us. Please understand this. If you're a good Christian, there will be people, you don't have to be a good Christian, but a good Christian, there will be people that speak all manner of evil against you. God said that. God said that. You say, what did God say? Rejoice. That's just sort of a, maybe that might be a sign that something good is going on. Okay, now we're not saying you did something to bring it, but sometimes our right, by the way, 24 years as a pastor, there's things, maybe there's certain principles that we hold high in the church. And people say something. I'm tempted to get angry. It's like, you know what? God says rejoice. It's probably some. And let me say this. If you're a new Christian, we love you. God loves you. He wants to give you the abundant life. But let me say this. You're going to get tackled. You say, what do you mean you're going to get tackled? There's going to be persecution. There's going to be problems. There's going to be friction. But the great thing is you're on the winning team. Heard a story this past week in that little anger series. The guy said, you know what? We set up new Christians for failure. He says, we don't warn them ahead of time that there will be some persecution and there will be trials and there will be, the Bible says, tribulations. He says, it's like taking somebody from another country and they don't understand tackle football and you put them on a Pop Warner team. And they get on the field and you say, now listen, son, they're going to give you the ball and there's going to be a bunch of people out there cheering for you. It's going to be great. And he goes, all right. The kid gets there and had never seen football and they give him the ball and he runs and then seven kids jump on him and pile on him and he gets up and he says, hey, what's going on? No one warned them what's going to happen. Well, let me say, Christians, greater is he that's in the world, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We have an enemy, the devil. We have the world, the flesh. We have people that listen. If you're we believe God often makes our families closer. But let me say this: if you live for God and you have some family members that don't want to have anything to do with God, let me say this: you might be bringing friction home. I'm just telling you ahead of time. I'm not going to, listen, around here we try to tell you the truth. Repent, but realize there's going to be problems. And then number three, and I'm done. We must engraft God's word in our hearts about anger. You say, how do you change in an area? And we'll go through these seven. How do you change? You've got to get the truths from God's word and engraft it. Don't casually read it. Engraft it. Don't just, by the way, coming to church is a part of engrafting the word in your soul. But that's not where it stops. One of you guys told me, one of the staff or somebody told me, that someone got a face graft. Who told me that? Someone here tell me? A face graft. They literally gave somebody a new face. You say, what's grafting? You get a burn, maybe on your face, and they take some of my thigh here, maybe some of my belly here, and they graft it. I'm not a doctor, but that's sort of how they do it. You say, what does it mean? You're taking something from somewhere else and making it a part of something. You say, how do you overcome anger? You find out what God says about anger, and don't just read it. You engraft it. You meditate on it. The word meditate is like a word ruminate. It's like a cow or a sheep chewing its cud. They chew, They swallow it, and it goes in one stomach, and they spit it back up. They chew it again. They swallow it. Comes back up. They chew it again. Swallow it, and it comes back up. That's how we get victory over anger. We don't just read verses like we just read and go, okay, I'm over anger. No. Now, here's two strong suggestions. Number one, I learned this. Brother Suter said this. He said, Pastor, when you counsel people, you're trying to help people, he said, give them homework. Because if they won't do the homework, they're not going to get help. Ooh, got quiet. I know we like our children to do our homework, but we don't want to do our homework. He said, if they really want to get help, you got to give them homework so they can take it home, and maybe it's a book or some CDs or some DVDs, because you can't, I hate to say it, and I know this is going to sound a little political, there's a little political persuasion where there's what the government, they do everything for you, and that's the mindset with a lot of people. Do it for me. Listen, we have to take personal responsibility. So if I have a problem and I can't, well, Brother Myers, it's you. You need to help me, or Brother Pineda. Now, by the way, as a pastor, I'm here to be a shepherd, to love and to help and to care for. But let me say this. We have a series. There's a series. It's called Anger the Destroyer, S.M. Davis. It's a DVD. It's a series. We've given it to many people. Two most given out series that we have. Number one is the 10 steps to overcome lust, unfortunately. Okay, actually, we have a package now. It's a moral purity package. We give you verses, we give you sermons, we give you a DVD. There's like a booklet. It's how to overcome lust for people that are addicted to pornography. By the way, pornography is addicting. It's addicting just like a drug is addicting. But then there's Anger the Destroyer. I think it's 6 DVDs. Okay, I would encourage you, if you have a problem with anger, okay, I would encourage you to get this series, and we can lend it out to you. We have it. And then there's a book. It's called How to Resolve 7 Deadly Stresses. I would encourage anybody in our church that wants to get victory over anger to get the book. I heard a story. Folks, anger is like a drug. Anger's like alcohol. I had family members that got drunk. And when they got drunk, we were afraid. We didn't know if they were going to empty out their pockets and give us money or if they were going to hurt somebody. You see, anger gives you that adrenaline to where you'll do things. I don't know how many in 24 years, I don't know how many husbands and wives, they've laid hands on their spouse. Wives too. Hitting her husband in the head when he's sleeping with a pan. At least wait until he wakes up. Hurting our children. Don't discipline your children when you're out of control. Those little bones can break. Heard a story about a man. He bought a brand new car. And he was cleaning his car. Brand new car. He's cleaning his car. By the way, one of the things about anger, you have to yield your rights. You have to give everything to God. And then if whatever you give to God, it gets muffed, it's like, this is God's, I'm just a steward. Because if we don't give everything to God, somebody's going to mess up our stuff. So you get a new car, you give it to God. Then when that milkshake falls in the back seat, you'll have a heart attack. So this man, he was cleaning his new car, his 5-year-old son was on the other side, and he was just watching his dad. Maybe his 4 or 5-year-old son. And his dad was going like this. And the boy, he didn't know better. And he never helped his dad clean a car. So he in just in all his innocence, he picked up 2 rocks. And he used the rocks like if he had rags. And he was on the other side. And the dad was on this side drying the car. And the son was like drying the car with the rocks. The dad comes over to the other side, and he loses it. And he grabbed his son, he yelled at his son, he grabbed his son, and he threw the hands with the rocks together. And he brutally broke his son's, a little five-year-old. Again, when you get angry, things you say are out of control. Things you do, it's an adrenaline rush. By the way, it can go on for a while. It's not just a 30-second thing. That's why we're calling people and we're going over it. It can happen. It can go on for like, it's like a high. Go on for a day or two. But when it first happens, and he grabbed his boy's hand and went, oh, and he just whacked them together. Mom came out. She was frantic. What's going on? This little boy's crying, and they had to take him to the hospital. Make a long story short, that boy's, both of his hands had to be amputated. You say, why? Because one dad got angry about his car. Now look, folks, you say, well, I'm not a hothead. I'll never do that. You potentially, prison time, divorce, rebellion with your children. You say, what do we need to do? I already said it. We need to engraft God's word on how to overcome anger. Let's bow our heads with just a moment. Let's stand together.